Next item on the agenda is request for emergency management proposal to amend Chapter 4 VAC 20-252-10. Mr. O'Reilly, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Commissioner Bowman, members of the commission. And before I find my slides here, which probably could take a second, so Jennifer's going to tell me where they are. Come on, Jennifer.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. All right, okay. I did want to mention to the commission that we have had an indication.
Thank you, Private Rob. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We have had an indication of the status of the blue crab stock. And if you looked on our website, you will notice that we did post information on the website. These results are only preliminary. They're not final. It takes a review of the information. It takes all three Bay jurisdictions to meet via a conference call that will be held this week. And then after that, there will be a press release. Usually there's a separate press release with the same type of information from Maryland DNR and the VMRC. Once that press release is out, then from our point of view, we will try and schedule the Crab Management Advisory Committee to be here as quickly as we can after that press release is out, and then also that information is public. So if you look on our website, it does not give specifics because that would be not the thing to do. When I know back about 4 years ago, there were four or five changes to the preliminary estimates that were discovered in the review. But I did want to mention that to the commission members.
And for what's those that haven't seen the website, can you just give the
Yes, of course. The website indicates that, I think it's under what's new, but it indicates that the abundance estimates of every portion of the blue crab stock, so that's the adult females, the juveniles, and the males, are substantially above last year's estimates. And further, again, it looks like 2018, because it goes back a year when the harvests are final, that the exploitation fraction or exploitation rate is lower than the target. The target's 25.5%. The exploitation rate is 23%. Commission will have a full briefing in May on all these results, and then we'll proceed also with the discussion on regulatory amendments. And then at the June meeting, it will be the public hearing. So I did want to mention that and appreciate the time to do that.
Well, that's some, at least in, without prejudicing the response, it sounds like some reasonably good news. So thank you.
Yes, sir. You're welcome. So today there is an emergency request by staff. And the emergency, if you recall, is a little different than the regular process. Typically, staff will have emergencies that are that day it's decided we need to have an emergency, and you don't have any forward information. This time was a little different. We did have forward information. In fact, the commissioner authorized that we could post this request from staff for an emergency amendment, and the emergency amendment, of course, is about elimination of our three spring trophy size fisheries. The emphasis for that is right here. If you look at the text that's in front of you, you can see that we're in a situation where we have an overfished condition for the first time since the 1980s period, and we also have overfishing occurring. And the two of those are detrimental, but the most detrimental is an overfished condition. Because that means if you continue with an overfished condition for several years, you risk the biological stability of any stock.
Which means recovery.
Yes. And if you, if you look at the fishing mortality, you can see here's a threshold. The target where you want to be is actually right about here. If you can draw a line across from there, that's about where the target would be, which you'll see in a minute. The threshold is where the unsafe level comes in, and you can see there's been quite a few years of fishing mortality rates that are beyond the threshold. Now, There was a new stock assessment in November of 2018. It did incorporate new recreational information from MRIP. It also entertained by the technical committee of ASMFC a proposal to have a two-stock model. The two-stock model would have had the Chesapeake as one stock, the Hudson and the Delaware as the other stock. The peer review process found that that was an interesting way to look at the situation with striped bass, but determined that it was not ready for management use. Consequently, there is a coastwide stock approach, and essentially there's a Chesapeake Bay approach in there, as well as a coastal, but essentially everyone's under the same fishing mortality rate, everyone's under the same spawning stock biomass levels. And there's the spawning stock biomass. You can see that it's been trending down. It's at a situation where it's overfished for several years. And what I can tell you is that the ASMFC will meet April 30th. They will come to a decision at the management board, the striped bass management board, as to whether to try and remedy this situation quickly as they can, or to go on a longer route. The first one's called an addendum. The second one's called an amendment. It seems to staff, having talked to every state except for Maine, that there is an emphasis on doing something fairly quickly. And in fact, the current amendment, Amendment 6 for the interstate plan, requires that the management achieve the target or below it in 1 year as a rebuilding. So there can't be too much delay. This is the assessment result, and in this column you can see the information on what was available in 2014, and if you jump over this column, you see 2018. These are metric tons. Wasn't labeled when we got this. We borrowed this, but these are in metric tons. That's a lot of weight. So, you know, in your head, you can multiply by 2,204.6 to roughly get an idea. It's a lot of biomass. The situation is that we do have a higher spawning stock biomass threshold than we had in 2014, and the target as well. So we're somewhere about 69,000 metric tons, well below the 91,000 for even to be within a situation where we're below the threshold. For fishing mortality rates, the fishing mortality rate is a little bit higher for the threshold and the target, but nonetheless, you can see from the previous information that we have a situation where overfishing has been occurring for several years. This was the motion that was part of the February 6th ASMFC striped bass board meeting, and it was made by a gentleman from New Hampshire, Douglas Grout, and when he made the motion, he indicated he was just trying to get things started to make sure that even though there was a problem in February, the partial federal shutdown meant that we did not have the full information from the stock assessment then, and we didn't have all the information from NOAA, which had, you know, been coordinating the SAW-STARC, is what it's called, Stock Assessment Review Committee. But Mr. Grout made this motion, and when he made this motion, he really wanted to see what type of management measures could bring the fishing mortality rate back to the target. And down here you see something. This was a little bit of a debate at the meeting. Closed seasons were sort of in parentheses up here, if necessary. But when you look at striped bass, you have on the coast a limited possession limit, one fish. Right now you have a 28-inch minimum size limit. When you look in the bay, you have two fish, you know, as far as your possession limit. You have a 20-inch minimum size in Virginia, and, you know, certainly there aren't too many things that you could imagine going forward when you see some of the other slides that I'm going to show you. But the season, at least we think the season should be looked at pretty carefully. Early information by the ASMFC is that the coast does have a variety of seasons all along the coast, and that's fine. But staff remembers that from 1999 until 2013, every year we had to look at a season analysis with size analysis and a possession limit analysis for summer flounder. And so the question might be, what's so different with striped bass that you can't do that? So the other thing to think about, just to give you more information, summer flounder recreational, black sea bass recreational have gone to regional management. So if there's such a variety of seasons along the coast, maybe it's time to make regions along the coast, because one of the biggest concerns is always that neighboring states can have an impact on your state by fishing in that state. So if you're in a region, you do have all the same measures. This talks about all removals. So removals, which you'll see a lot of as we go forward, probably all the way into July, I would imagine, before we ask the commission for a public hearing, at that time. Removals are both harvest and dead discards. And dead discards are really discarded fish when they're alive, but the math says that 9% of those fish suffer mortality. This is something that goes way back to the 1980s on an experiment done in a pond, actually, in Massachusetts. So everyone usually says, well, wait a minute, how does 9% look in the summertime for states that have a summertime fishery? It probably doesn't look too good. But nonetheless, the ASMSC has steadfastly stuck with this 9% of whatever is discarded becomes recreational discards. So you see it in the yellow here. But when you look at this chart up here, you can see that recreational dead discards essentially are pretty large at 48%, whereas the whole remainder of the fishery is only 52%. The other thing you see is that the commercial is very low on the dead releases, and the commercial harvest is only 8%. So take that together on a coastwide basis, because everything's coastwide, 10% of the situation right now with the last assessment, 2018, owes to the commercial fishery. But then you have to come to Virginia. In Virginia, it's much different. Our commission decided in 1997 that there would be a 50-50 split between recreational and commercial, even though there was a study by the late Dr. Kirkley that indicated that, economically speaking, the recreational fishery completely outpowered the commercial fishery. And I think everyone understands that. But our commission, which is traditional, said, no, it's going to be 50-50. And we embarked on a baywide quota in 1997 all the way till 2014, and that's the way it has been. What you're going to see coming up is that the recreational fishery has slid quite a bit in the next couple slides, whereas right now the commercial fishery is actually outperforming the recreational fishery in Virginia. So this just tells you that in 2017, and the reason that's mentioned, that's the last year of data that fed into the stock assessment. That's where the technical committee so far is saying the reductions are going to come from 2017. And you see here, and with our first FMAC meeting, which I'll talk about later, the comments were, well, we're 3.6% of the coastwide total. What's wrong? What's the matter with that? And staff's response was, we really don't want to be 3.6% of the total when we had a very vibrant fishery in the past all the way up to about 2007. You can look at that both ways. The commercial, we don't know the dead discards. We can probably find those out. You saw it was 2%, so it's not going to be a lot. But the amount of fish, 135,000, is something that you can look at. The recreational harvest you'll see in a minute, because that's harvest and dead discards. I'm going to go back. And so when you look in the second column and go through the years, the fishery reopened in 1990. And you can see as you go through here that Virginia did have a very substantial recreational fishery, almost to the tune of 1 million fish, not quite, but very close. And then you look over to the next column at the coastwide landing. So we're looking at states from Maine to North Carolina. Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida is not part of this, the management unit. And you can see that Virginia was a leading recreational state. When you look at 2005, staff looked back at that. There was a big fishery, 517,000 fish, but Maryland, Massachusetts, New York, and New Jersey had even more that year. That was a large year for fish altogether. And then you come to the present area, and you can see that we haven't been the same that we were before. And although it's preliminary, staff doesn't expect it to change very much, down to under 52,000 fish. The other portion of this table looks at the releases, and although the releases look substantial percentage-wise, they're really not according to the coastal state. So we rank very low over time, over all the years, in the number of released fish. So that's what happens to the overall coastwide approach when you have a lot of released fish, a lot more here, and you take 9% of that, and it ends up as dead discard estimates. So for today, we're going to look at these trophy-sized fisheries, but I did want to give you that introductory information. And as you can tell, there's not going to be a lot of information that come forward here. And what I have to do here now, and pretend I haven't done this, if you don't mind, because I think we're looking at the wrong table. The information is good that you received, but we have to get the right file. Where's Jennifer? Where? There. I actually might be able to do this by myself. Let's see. Trophy. Okay. Yeah. So the information is all relative. Background, which you don't have to have twice now. And today's meeting is a request for an emergency amendment, a proposal to amend Chapter 4 VAC 20-252-10 in sequence. And this is pertaining to taking a striped bass, that's the regulation, to eliminate three different spring trophy-sized fisheries. So this is reiterative in a way, but a little bit of different information. It tells you that we are still in this situation where in 2014 there was already a reduction scenario for commercial and recreational fisheries. And it also tells you that, what I'd said before, that the new MRIP estimates are provided. The other part is there was a fairly good, not terrific, but fairly good year class or production of striped bass in 2014 and 15, but not like 2011 was. If you remember, 2011 was the highest in Virginia. This shows the similar information I just showed you. The slide in the recreational fishery. This reiterates that, and you saw the rankings. This may look odd, but this is where the evaluation to the commission was in 1995. And if you look at this, this actually was the case, that at that time there was polarity as far as should there be a trophy-sized fishery or not. And it was very equally split. Staff decided with the advisory committee at the time to go ahead and have one, along with a very high size limit. At that time it was 32, now it's 36. So this will be for your reference in the evaluation that you have before you. Were we to have a trophy fishery, and that's your decision today as to will we have these trophy fisheries, this is where the season would be. May 1 to June 15th in Chesapeake Bay and its tributaries, the coastal season May 1 to May 15th, and the Virginia tributaries of Potomac River, April 20 to May 15th. Almost a similar size limit, 36 inches, but the Virginia tributaries are managed in concert with what the Potomac River is, and that's 35 inches. Everything's one striped bass. And if you look through your evaluation, there are page numbers here to show you how all three of these trophy-sized fisheries, which I'll go over towards the end, how the language has been stricken for this meeting. So what's involved with eliminating the Bay and Coastal Trophy season? And as far as a harvest savings, it's very minimal, less than 1%. The commissioner had a letter that also is on the website to ASMFC indicating the same information and indicating that this issue would be before you today. That was a companion letter for one from the Secretary of Natural Resources, Matt Strickler, as well as the commissioner, Commissioner of Connecticut, Ms. Dykes, and the Secretary of Massachusetts, Mr. Beaton. And a letter went up, which I hope you get a chance to look at, because it's a situation that is perfect for the idea that there really doesn't need to be any delay. Action is required, and please do look at that. So in the bottom here, or the right-hand column, I should say, not a lot of fish. The problem is staff has no idea from 1995 to the present how many trophy-sized fish really have been harvested. We really don't. Why? Well, it may be that even though this was mandatory reporting since 1995, many recreational fishermen who obtained the permit and the forms to report just felt that it was not necessary. I don't know what other conclusion we could reach. And as you know from last month, finally the reporting rate reached 50%. And, you know, that was with a lot of coaxing and staff time to explain to those who wanted a new permit that they failed to report, and if they reported, they could get another permit. So that went on for a year as well. So that's a condition. The other condition is we know, based on some letters that I'm going to hand out to you, that there's generally support for this measure. You have a letter from VISA, Virginia Saltwater Sportsmen Association. You have a letter on behalf of the Norfolk Anglers Club. You have sort of an interrogation letter that staff responded to once we posted the emergency situation on the web. We had a Dr. Mike Meyer who had all sorts of questions for staff, and I thought it might be good to include that so that you could see the responses, which are in italics. VISA makes it clear that they aren't taking a position. What they did was they conducted a poll. And when they conducted the poll, 70% of the respondents said they were in favor of elimination of the trophy-sized fisheries. But that does not indicate a position by VISA. So today, we also have a situation that there's timing involved. There is support to eliminate these trophy-sized fisheries. There is support to lessen the amount of big fish that are taken in all our fisheries. There should be. And a 36-inch size limit is not always a 10-year-old, but it's the mode. Most of the time, when you look at data from the past or even present, 36 inches is a 10-year-old fish. It's a very productive fish, not to mention those fish that are larger than that that are taken, but we don't know how many. We really don't. And I think this tells the story. I'll go back one, trigger finger. So a lot of permits. These are just the private boat permits over 3 years. This is just charter, essentially, charter permits. And then look at the number of trips reported, not that many. But then you jump over to the reporting rate 36%, 39%. We finally got close to a 50% here, and the charter did actually pull up a little bit the last 2 years to 60%. But again, we have no quality data to go by. We really do not know. And we all heard Dr. Luckenbach earlier talk about precautionary. Well, precautionary is part of fisheries management as well. It's something that no one likes to see, actually, because it means you don't have enough data to really understand what to do except be very risk-averse. And, you know, I would say that staff is thinking there's a precautionary situation here with the trophy size fisheries. So before I go to the staff recommendation, I do want to go through the regulation just to make sure that the commission sees everything as far as changes go. And if you look at page 3, actually you can see page 1. So this would be effective if it's adopted April 29th. If it's adopted, there would be a public hearing May 28th. And really, the only thing that would be available for the public hearing is the end of the Bay spring-sized trophy fishery that goes to June 15th. That's not unusual for an emergency to, in some cases, even sunset because all the action has been completed. So if you start in page 3, you can see that the Bay and coastal trophy-sized bass recreational fisheries are stricken. That continues all the way up to the middle of the next page, on page 4. It continues on page 5 and ends in the middle there. The Potomac River Tributary Spring Trophy Size Recreational Fishery, that starts in the middle of page 5. That is all stricken. That continues through page 6 and stops at page 7 in the middle. And then if you look at section 80 on page 10, you can also see there was an exception in there in paragraph C or subsection C that needed to be stricken because otherwise what's in E, which is the trophy size fish, would have still continued. So staff went through that way. The last item is page 8 on the Potomac River Tributary's Fall Striped Bass Recreational Fishery. That is added because we also have to understand that that's a different season that they're going to have, April 18th to May 15th. But the language in subsection D on page 8 establishes a date so that that cannot occur. And what can occur still are the two fish at 28. So those are the changes to the regulation that are recommended as amendments. And the staff recommendation is, staff recommends the commission adopt the emergency amendments, as you just saw described in this chapter. And staff also recommends this emergency amendment be part of a May public hearing to incorporate the amendments as part of the permanent regulation.
Rob, thank you for the overview. Very well done. Any questions of Mr. O'Reilly, members of the commission?
Do you have questions?
Mr. France.
I see point. We get a 0.35%. That's all that we're going to, by the numbers that we have.
Yes, and that's too bad.
But to reiterate, that's by the numbers that we have.
Yes, and we don't have many, many of the numbers over many, many years, 24.
Dr. Neal?
This is not a question. This is a point. This is kind of what I brought up before. We keep talking about percents, and a percent of fish is one thing, but it's a fish is not a fish. And
right.
So we're talking about 100% of these fish being large spawning females. And that's different than saving a 20-inch fish. And so, you know, when you do your last agenda item and you're going to say, this does this and gives us a 12% reduction, it's not the same thing. If this one only gives us a 2% reduction, that 2% might be important, more important than that 12%. And it depends on the ASMC mandates and how they word things, what we're trying to accomplish here. But, you know, our primary concern, our most immediate concern are these large spawning biomass. And this fishery we're talking about right now only targets that fish. And so I'm approving, and I can tell you the recreational anglers that have gotten in touch with me have yelled at me for how stupid we are because we're not doing enough. And I've told them, hey, we're doing more. This is just a quick thing we can do right now. But they want more.
If I may, two things. One, when I come back to the presentation that I started with at the end of the meeting, I'll cover that situation the best I can as far as the value of these larger striped bass and how we might be able to get a better understanding of that value. The second thing is, you're absolutely right. Because of a lot of factors, including the timing that these fisheries would have started May 1, it necessitates us to bring this to you today. That doesn't mean there's not going to be more, and that doesn't mean we're not also interested in the situation in the commercial fishery. When I talk about FMAC, I mean we're considered all the way around. So, thank you.
Mr. Ballard?
To Dr. Neal's point about the request to do more, has there been discussion or consideration to the smaller fish that's still open, 20 to 28, the two per person? Was that discussed at all?
Yes, answer the question directly, but I think I'll have some information for you on the FMAC presentation. But yes, I mean, we talk about that as well. But I think one of the situations is, and we don't know what the Striped Bass Management Board is going to do, despite the fact the technical committee has said a 17% reduction from 2017. They do look at the small fish. And if you remember what happened in 2014, the ASMSC allowed states to increase their size limit by 2 inches in the bay, for example. And all those dead discards, and we have a table we can show you, but please realize that this is going to be a few months that we're in front of you with information, and you will see everything, and that's the way it should be. But yes, everything is on the table, and you know, after April 30th, certainly our May meeting, you'll want to know not only what happened there, if not sooner, you'll also want to know what the strategies are. So, does that help?
I hope so, but I'm not so sure that we ought not go to item 18 right after this item so that we don't muddy the water, not the pun, but with sharks and taking a bluefish and everything.
Okay.
But we'll continue down this path at the present time. Mr. France.
Yeah, my last question will be, I think we're doing the right thing, trying to get ahead of the problem. And I think I want to maybe get into what Mr. Neal was trying to get at also. As we're going forward here, and I know you have this in your mind and you're probably working on it right now, but are we looking for ways to make the recreational fishery more accountable?
More what?
Accountable for what they catch.
We are for the large fish. There is a proposal that FMAC has reviewed a couple of times now. For the large fish, we do want to be more accountable. It's difficult for the entire fishery with all the fishermen involved.
Understood.
I mean, whether it's 250,000 or whether it's 400,000, that's a big debate. So that becomes a little tougher. But we think we can do something with the large fish, and that's important. I think that's in keeping with what everyone wants to do. There's no mystery that these fish do return to Chesapeake Bay. Whether they return to Maryland or Virginia probably is something that it depends. Depends where the food is, depends where the temperature is right for them. So, but we're trying to do something for Chesapeake Bay.
Okay. Any comments? Well, going back to your point, Mr. France, about accountability, I think there is lack of accountability in both sectors. And I think, unfortunately, it's extensive in both sectors. this is definitely a holistic program, a problem that deals with commercial, recreational, it deals with states, coast, and things like that. And there has to be a decision made, a collective decision, as to whether at this juncture we're going to be part of the problem or part of the solution. I think at this point to move forward, although it seems like a minuscule amount of fish, there has to be a starting point. I have, unlike some of my companions on the commission, have caught it a little bit from the recreational fishermen that one of the biggest, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. Again, every day when I ride across the James River Bridge, I had a chance to look at things, and there is a large state gill net with a fisherman out there pulling his fish out of there. And my recreational fishing friends say that see that say, how in the world did they get to do that? And this small, minuscule fishery is going to be cut when it doesn't save that. Well, we've got to start somewhere. And the crab issue was more of a regional problem between Maryland and Virginia, I think it shows that if we have resolve to do what's right, not what's easy, but what's right, and we work together, we will see results. And I think that's where we are now, and we've got to. Virginia's always been a leader. They've been a leader in a number of different. They've been first in the country, first this, that, and the other. This is the time for us to step up the plate with the support of the secretary, who, thank goodness, he gets it. He sees it. He knows what's going on. There have been times, and I'm not critiquing, but there have been times where the support that we had for fishery management and conservation has not necessarily been there. Such is not the case here. So that's my sermon for the day. Again, not being a fishery scientist, but when you have, as you relate to precaution, mm-hmm. Ben's relate to precaution, when you have scientific precaution coupled by anecdotal or other evidence that's being provided, obviously, by those that are involved in the fishery sector, it's more than just precautionary. It's real. There is a problem. We're not just doing this because we think we ought to do it as a precaution. We're in a crisis situation right now. And if you don't believe it, well, I use my back pier as my lab. Rob hears this all the time, and I look for crabs back there. And when I see little crabs go I look in a square, and I count how many go by. I'm not a scientist, but if you see a lot of crabs go by, small, it usually ends up being a pretty good year, and it does. I haven't caught a keeper rockfish off the back of my deck in about 5 years. It used to be you could go down there under the lights and, you know, you could catch your two. That's reality. That's not fake news, for lack of a better term. It's real. So to the point, when we go to ASMSC, we're going to be asking for measures that are sooner than later and measures that are substantive. And I don't mean to use the term inappropriately, but I'm not going to say all will feel the pain, but all sectors will be impacted as fairly as we possibly can, as accountable as we possibly can, to bring this to a solution by the time some of our grandkids or whatever decide they want to go fishing, it'll be back the way that it was. And I think that's what we all desire. So that being said, the matter is before the commission. Dr. Neal.
Move to approve staff's request for emergency action.
Second.
Motion made by Dr. Neal, second by Mr. France. Further discussion. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. And I find it very, very heartening that the motion was made and seconded by both our recreational and commercial representatives on the commission.